Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for June 28th in the year 2022. I'm your host, Joe McElvain, and with me is...
Sean Allen.
And we're the only ones here so far today. But we, if anyone else joins, then they can participate as well. But we're about to go through the auto-generated agenda for today, or rather, Sean, you were already looking at one of the tickets. Which one was that?
I'm looking at pull request 4151 in the Pony C repo update back pressure implementation with runtime configurable threshold.
Okay, this is interesting. I have not looked at this at all.
So the basic idea is that, and I have to go through because Dippin said he made it more like the current implementation with his most recent update. So yeah, but the idea is that, from my understanding, but I am reviewing it now, is that it's basically setting a instead of muting immediately when an actor sends its first message to another actor, right? That is overloaded or is muted, in muting it, that there is a configurable threshold which you have to hit before the muting occurs.
Makes sense. Yeah, I definitely don't have time in this call to review extensively the code in there. I'm sure it's very subtle and interesting. But yeah, do you have anything you want to share on the call about this PR, or should we go ahead and move on?
Yeah, no, I just started looking at it. I don't. No, it's going to take me. It's going to take me some time to review.
Okay. Well, let's take a look at pull request 4150 then. This has had a little bit of activity. This is entitled enable passing and returning of tuples in FFI calls. This was disabled years ago because of ABI issues that arose with doing so, but at the time the ABI issues were not well defined or well specified, and so we had decided to go ahead and try removing the restriction and see what happens, see what kind of ABI issues we see. And we did see some ABI issues. I don't know if passing arguments as tuples has been well tested yet. So far, I think a lot of the discussion has revolved around issues we found when returning tuple arguments. So it basically turns out, I did a lot of investigation about this morning, kind of in depth, looking through the Clang source code, because really, unfortunately, LLVM, which I feel should tackle this by itself, in my opinion, it would be much better. And I think others have said so in the past on mailing lists, that it would be nice if LLVM handled these ABI specific lowering issues with just by specifying, for example, if you would specify a calling convention with the ABI you were using, then to have LLVM like automatically lower it appropriately. But it does not. And there is some logic in the Clang compiler for how to do this based on various ABIs for various platforms that have different ways of, like, different basically restrictions on what kinds of arguments and return values can use the stack and registers versus what kinds must be stored and loaded from memory. So I have not looked into yet the what will be needed for arguments, but I spent some time this morning looking through the source code for Clang for return values, And also some relevant ABI documentation where I could find it for each of these ABIs that we support for the platforms we support in Pony. And basically my conclusion was, I think we can support this fairly simply by each platform has like a maximum, like what it boils down to, like there's a lot of complicated rules around things with, I mean, there a lot of the complications arise with like special cases for vectorized like floating point stuff or various other edge cases. But the base way to look at it, which I think is going to cover pretty much all the cases we should need to cover. And if not, we can revisit at that time. The basic idea is that if your struct is, if your pony tuple is larger in byte size than a certain size, and there's a certain size that's specific to each platform slash ABI that we're targeting, then it needs to be treated as an implicit sort of, in C, you might call it an out parameter, where you have an argument with an address and you write your return value to that address as a way of returning it. And so I think it can be supported fairly simply. I've laid out my notes for that in the compiler discussion thread in Zulip, where I was kind of investigating and then sort of summarizing my findings. And I think that this should be possible to support without a lot of headache, at least for the return case. And again, I have not yet investigated the argument case. I suspect it is a similar answer, but maybe not quite as simple, or maybe simpler. It's unknown at this time. So yeah, any thoughts or comments about that?
I followed along with everything as you were putting it into the Zulip and also conversation on the ticket. I think this sounds very encouraging. In the Zulip, you specifically mentioned hard coding this logic right into PonyC so that, you know, we're not using libclang. Taking on libclang for this seems like opening up a giant ball of wax, where I saw already that, you know, that this logic is spread between Clang and LLVM already. So I think it makes sense for us that we spread this logic across PonyC and the LLVM parts, right? I think that makes perfect sense based on that's what LLVM gives us. And while I have some ideas where I think that it would be nice to include libclang, right? That is a huge undertaking, which really doesn't seem worth it for this when we have a what looks to be a straightforward way to support the return types.
Yeah, and like some of the complexities in the libclang logic arise from having to support things like C unions, which we don't support. There's something, what is it called? Flexible sized arrays in struct. I had never heard of this before, but apparently in C99, you can have a struct where one of the fields in it is an indefinitely sized array. So that's interesting. I'd never heard of that before, but yeah. There's complexities in the C standard that we don't necessarily have to deal with that make this, I think, a lot simpler for Pony. You know, a tuple is never a packed struct, so we never have unaligned fields. So that is also better. So I agree. I think libclang would be more complicated than we need for this, especially like we'd have to kind of stub things out, because for a Pony FFI declaration, you don't necessarily have a C header on your system that that's targeting, right? And libclang is designed to, you know, take in these, you know, to parse C headers and C source files, or C++ headers and C++ source files, and, you know, generate these internal structures that it uses to represent, like, for example, the struct definition. And we would have to find some way of saying, okay, we don't have a C header file, but we want to sort of inject this struct definition into the libclang context, it, just for the purposes of testing its ABI properties. It seems like a lot of hackiness just for that purpose.
Yep. Like I could see like the point where I could see libclang definitely becoming interesting, right? is if we wanted to do the like the type of hey, I'm a C compiler type things, which like Zigzag does, right? If yeah. if it was something like that, then I would just be like, hey, if we got a really good reason for that, then that sounds good. And I'm using that as a broad hand wave for the close integration with C that that Zigling has. And we just don't have that right now. And taking on libclang and all of the additional stuff to do it for something like this just seems wrong, right? I had heard that that was an option. I had mentioned it on the ticket. And then, you know, I went and looked at what would actually be involved with that. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe not.
Yeah, I think it'd be more appropriate if we were actually just going to say, okay, I'm not going to declare my FFI calls. I'm just going to point it to a C header. And then yeah, that'll tell me, but you still need to map those onto PonyType. So it's not, even that is kind of bad. But yeah. Having something like the main use case I'm thinking of right now is like a lot of people that have FFI code that is not compatible with Pony for one reason or another are using C shims, and they have to compile those shims separately. And it would be a little bit more convenient to just, if we embedded libclang and said, oh, okay, well, the Pony C compiler can also accept some C source files that get kind of bundled in as FFI things do.
Yep, that would be a good reason right there to look at including libclang.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. So the next steps on this would be investigating passing arguments, or I mean, we could consider just adding a PR that only allows returning tuples, but I think it's probably worth investigating the arguments as well, and figuring out what those restrictions need to be. And making them, updating the code so that we're not only allowing this, but also doing some ABI tricks under the hood inside the code gen step of the Pony C compiler to adapt these cases. So yes, that is that. Let's take a look at issue ticket 4153. It's entitled Potential Compiler Seg Fault in Lookup.c. This was filed 6 days ago. It looks like you already investigated this and said it should be straightforward. Okay.
I mean, pretty much like... I don't know when the opt is not equal to no in this particular case comes from, right? But yes, we are already using the opt check before. I think it makes sense to remove the opt is not equal to no check, right? From below, it's pointless. And we could have a assert that opt is not equal to no at the beginning, which is something that we often do, but not always like, because we don't check that name is not null, for example. There are a number of things we don't necessarily check for those all the time. It's kind of hit or miss depending on who wrote the given thing. But I think it's certainly reasonable for this to have a pony assert the checks that opt is not null, start of this, and then remove the opt, the not null check from below.
When is it that opt could be null?
Line 60, where we get type check T from opt check, type check underscore T pointer yeah. T, right? So opt could be null there, and then it would seg fault.
Well, what I mean is like, what under what circumstances would it receive a null opt pointer?
It wouldn't, that I'm aware of, right? But there are checks sometimes for opt is not equal to no in there, and sometimes there aren't.
Okay.
Right. So we should certainly remove the opt is not equal to no. And I would not object to a check for the opt being there at the beginning.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. It's like we're dereferencing it, so it's implicitly asserted. It could be explicitly asserted, if we thought that was valuable. But yeah, there's no way that it's going to reach line 66, that check.
Yeah.
Without being non-null. Okay, makes sense. I've just removed the discuss during sync label because your comment on that ticket from 5 minutes ago already sums it up. And away we go to 4138, ARM 64 Apple Darwin CI test failures.
So we added, there were a couple more that were added, right? And the last one looks a little different than the others, right?
The last one from Borja there?
Yeah, in that there are some which succeeded and some that failed, right?
The succeeded ones are very close to the timeout time, though.
They are.
So it's like we lost the CPU for almost 60 seconds, and some of them that were just faster than 60 seconds succeeded, and those that were slower.
Like we almost lost it for 60 seconds, yes. And then ones that could finish quick enough passed, and then the others got the timeout.
Yeah. So I think that's still consistent with that theory.
Yep. So that's a good explanation there for that. Yep. So, I mean, okay. So at sync, we discussed it more and decided that also environmental almost 50 seconds would explain the failures. There's not much we can do for this but track for now and let Cirrus know what we are seeing, right? I'm just going to say, you know, there's not much we can do for now, but we can continue to track it to see if, to continue to track it and let Cirrus know what we're seeing, right? There might be something that comes up that disproves it, so we should keep tracking it.
Right.
But otherwise, so I'm going to take away the help wanted and discuss during sync and just leave needs investigation for now, right? Because we're still collecting data just in case, but we think that's what it is. Is that reasonable?
Makes sense. Yep.
Okay. I'm gonna shoot them a message right now so I don't forget.
All right, let's take a look at the next thing on the list, which is issue ticket 4130 LLVM crash using a private type as a default value outside the package. This is what we discussed in the sync last week. There's nothing new to discuss here, I think. I'm just going to remove the label.
Which one was this?
Issue ticket 4130, LLVM crash using a private type as a default value outside the package.
Yes.
There was basically just Stefan DD asked if the poor code in lookup.c should be fixed. And you said open another ticket. And that was the other ticket we already looked at.
Yeah. Okay.
And 4125 in the Pony C repo, this is confusing error with intersect of tuple. I don't think there's anything new to discuss here. I'll just remove the label. This was discussed during sync 28 days ago and just needs to have the label removed.
And 11:18 is waiting, is still marked as discussed during
sync, yes,
so that we can remind Joe that he needs to add the info that he was going to add to it.
Shame, Joe, shame. Yes. And okay, so the info you wanted me to add is basically a summary of what we discussed, or like of the conclusion of the discussion that was in the Zulip thread that's linked in that comment, right?
I think so. Yes, the B tables and things, right?
Yeah.
Is this the one? Yep.
So this is like, okay. So the basic summary I need to write is something like, for certain data structures, we can tag them as definitely not containing any actor references. And that would imply that they have no fields that are an actor, and they have no like abstract types in them, where the abstract type has been shown in reachability to subsume an actor, or to subsume another abstract type that subsumes an actor. And so that's like a possible actor. And so we could tag each one of these types as, each class and struct, I suppose, as definitely contains an actor, or sorry, as definitely contains no actor, or could possibly contain an actor, or contain, you know, another data structure that contains an actor, so it's recursive. And we do that after reachability, before code gen, or during code gen. And during code gen, we need to trace them differently.
Yep.
The ones that definitely contain no actor references can be traced in the current way.
Yep.
The way that where we skip tracing if it's a vowel. And that's like using the optimization that's already there. And then those that could possibly contain an actor reference need to be traced. We need to recurse into them to trace. Which is the case that breaks the optimization that we currently have. And we need to add an edge. We need to add a check that basically introduces that as an edge case where, okay, that code would now run slower, but it would be safe. Whereas yeah. Code that definitely contains no actors, data structures that definitely contain no actors and are known by the compiler to not contain any actors could still participate in that optimization. Okay, so I will write that down in the ticket, but at least now it's recorded on the sync in case I forget it again, and I have confirmed it with you verbally that this is the same thing you wanted me to describe.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. So moving on to the next issue, I'll leave the label on that just so we can keep shaming me until I pull my act together. And we can take a look at other things on our auto-generated agenda. GitHub REST API has an issue ticket number 3 and PR 3.
Let's go ahead and talk about this. I went back and forth for a while, right? And with this, and so this is an API level concern, right? Where horrifyingly awful, because the GitHub API evolved over the course of time. It does a lot of things that you would not design into it, right? Like depending on when in time a body for an issue was created, right? It may be null, or it may be an empty string. And additionally, depending on the mechanism by which you create it now, even with some new stuff, it might be null or it might be an empty string. Both represent basically the same thing, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask if there was any like semantic difference that you should be aware of.
There is no way. I think if you create a PR and you don't put anything into that box, right, for the first one, I think you can end up with a null that way. I think. Like there is some little bit where it's flowing through a different set of code, but you can definitely not supply a body as part of the API, I believe, and have it happen. But there is certainly, there are nulls in it for older things, et cetera. So we have to support both. And I went back and forth where I was like, well, that seems really awful, you know, to have to make this thing a blah or none, right? But going through all of the different possibilities it was like, well, you know, we have the thing, instead of doing the maybe, we had the thing from iter tools where you can take a thing which might be null or not, right? And correctly handle it. And the issue there was like, well, you know, that do we want to expose people to that with the API? And we're like, well, we could always do a maybe object with custom discovery. And you know, then I decided that's probably not a good idea either. And I've kind of settled for this for PonyLang libraries that I think it makes the most sense for something like this to represent it as what it is and leave it up to the user to deal with it however they want to, right? Which is, it's a this or none. And then if they want to use like the stuff from iter tools for it, they can. Otherwise they could do a match or they could do, you know, a wrapping it in a try, like what's here in this PR. So at first I didn't like this PR and I've come around to, I think this is the right way to go about doing it. Do you have any thoughts?
Okay. Until that last sentence, I thought you were describing that you started out wanting this PR.
I started out not liking what this PR did. And went looking for other things, and then decided after looking at all of the other things and thinking about those as an option that I feel like this is actually the right thing to do.
Okay. So this is a changed position from what you said on February 9th.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see, February 9th.
Yeah. February 9th, you were saying the opposite. You wanted the empty string as default.
Yes. But that just seems, now we could be writing a empty string in where there's a null, right? And they are still different for some reason, and that certainly feels wrong to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my default inclination, like, I don't know. Yeah. If I was writing what was intended to be like a high level API, mm-hmm. this, right, I would want to paper over that difference and just make it a string and, you know, coerce to the empty string. I think that would be good for a high level API. But I think that what we have here, I would consider to be more of a low level API, right? We have, yes. This is like trying to directly map, okay, here's the API definitions, and we directly map it in a way that could be, I don't know if you're using code generation, I don't think you are, but it could be code generated.
Awful lot of it could be, yes.
Yeah, so like, because it's like that, because it's something that could be code generated, I think it makes sense to treat it in that mechanical way as if it was code generated and say, all right, we'll give you the direct mapping. And either we were going to map null onto empty strings everywhere, or we don't do it at all. And I think everywhere would probably be a mistake because there might be some places where it might matter more. It could be a valid choice, but yeah, that would be my comment, is that if we wanted to do in an empty string default, we should probably do it everywhere that it could, that rule could possibly apply. So it's like applied consistently and mechanically in the same way that a code generator would.
Okay, so I'm leaving a comment to that effect, and then I'm going to merge this. All right.
Sounds good. And moving on to, let's see, so that'll close issue ticket 4 in the GitHub REST API repo. We have, let's see, Pono tutorial issue ticket 495. This is about example code should use NodeDoc. This is just I removed the label and added a comment, and then the bot re-added the label. So nothing new to discuss here.
Okay.
So I'm removing the label again. And What else do we have? I see in the Pony Playground, there's a bunch of dependency bump PRs. Yeah.
Do we want to do those? I mean, I don't know like if we should just be merging the dependabot things or not. I guess.
Yes. I mean, it works best when you have like tests that could show when the dependency breaks something.
I feel
like we don't.
So Matthias turned them on and then gave no guidance on whether we should just be blindly accepting these things or not. So I'd err on the side of let's not.
Okay.
The issue 42 in the changelog bot action is there's not really anything to discuss. I'm removing it from that. At some point from the last time that it was touched to when I touched it, like 13 days ago, the Python that's there no longer passes the latest updates to the linter. So that could stand to be updated.
Do we want to remove Dependabot from the Pony Playground repo?
I think we'd want to talk to Matthias about it. I mean, he set it up. All right. I think it should be either yes, it's okay for us to merge all of these things, or no, and we should remove the Dependabot. And I think we should ask him about that.
Should we ask in the, like, I'm looking at the pull request where it was merged, pull request 6 in the Pony Playground. I'm just going to ping Matthias there.
I was going to ask him in the Zulip.
That works. All right.
Right here where he said, I did enable Dependabot on the Playground repo for checking for newer versions of listed dependencies. And we'll take care of checking and merging any dependency upgrade comes that way. All right, so.
Okay. So it is up to Matthias to do that. And if, as his bandwidth allows. Or someone else if they wanted to take on the, This was March 1st. That was not very long ago that Matthias said that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Sounds good. Checking. I don't know if we have anything else to discuss in the auto-generate agenda. We may have finished our list.
Yes. Yes, we had that RFC that was opened, but then Noggingly, that's the name on Zulip, at least. I can't remember if it's the name. they closed that there were issues around like what platforms would this work on, et cetera. And he didn't have any good answers to that. Right. And I said, I think it would make sense to, you know, start with adding these things as their own library where you could use the code from a term in order to do that. Right. And work it out there so that you can get answers to all of those questions, you know, that would arise for the standard library and get people to contribute there. So he closed it and was, at least in theory, that's what he's going to do.
Okay. All right. Do we have any special topics we want to discuss?
I have no special topics today.
I have vague swirlings about the topic that keeps coming up about main thread locked stuff with FFI and graphical libraries and WebAssembly, mscripting. I have the vague swirlings, but it's not really enough to discuss right now. So maybe another time. All right. Well, in that case, should we adjourn?
We could get.
Okay. Well, thanks, Sean, for joining me today. And thanks to everyone who's listening along to this recording after the fact. And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.